And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about what happens when kings, or really governments, fail to punish evil. What happens when governments fail to punish evil? Now, this is something I have been studying for several years now, and I've been really comparing history, modern history, the history of the last 100 years, because you've had all these different countries that fell to communism and to socialism in the 20th century. And now we have here in the United States, we have socialism on the rise. There's no question. In the Democratic Party, you have these radical, anti-American, leftist women primarily. There's some men, there's no doubt. But you've got these women who are continually promoting led by AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but we also know that with her is Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, and they're continually talking about impeaching the president, and the president is a racist. I mean, I watched last night 5-10 minutes of CNN. I don't normally watch CNN. But I thought I'll tune in, I'll just listen and see if anything has changed since the last time I tuned into CNN. And of course, within the span of 20 minutes, I mean, it was just a nonstop barrage of racism, 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 one accusation against President Trump after another, that he is supposedly a racist because he believes in upholding our borders, our national border, which every country in the world has, which countries from ancient times had. And he rejects, as most Americans do, and really as all Americans should, he completely rejects the idea of open borders. Open borders is nothing but pure communism. It is an attempt by the globalists to steal America. I mean, that's really what they're looking to do, to rob the United States of America, to plunder our country and to flood us with all of these not only non-American, but really anti-American immigrants, to have them come in here, give them all citizenship and the right to vote if they can, and eventually to have them outnumber the core population of the American people so that they can vote a socialist system of government into being. That's what they're looking to do. This is simply a backdoor, roundabout method of trying to invade and conquer the United States of America. They're clearly against our Constitution. They want nothing to do with the Constitution unless it serves their purpose. And the methods they're using, I mean, they're employing all the methods of the French Revolution, where they fabricate information. I mean, you have this episode where AOC is standing in front of a chain-linked fence posing like she's weeping over the poor, suffering illegals who are being detained and this kind of, and then it turns out there's nobody there, that it was all posturing. Of course, it's been exposed that she herself is really an actress who was hired by a group of guys, a group of radical leftists who want to try and take down our country. And they hired her to run for office, and they supported her, put her picture up on banners and everything, and helped to get her elected. And this is where she comes in. But the methods that they're employing, dishonesty, propaganda, etc., All of these were the methods of the French Revolution. We have to remember when Hitler took over Germany, he said his Nazi movement was the exact counterpart of the French Revolution. And since we've mentioned Hitler, who's very significant, by the way, I've also watched some of the episodes, which is very interesting. On Netflix, they have a series on Trotsky, Leon Trotsky, the communist leader and agitator in Russia. And the series, if you watch it, it is, for the most part, it's okay. There are different sequences where you kind of just have to fast forward through it. So watch it with caution. But I watched it. I like to watch things that are historical so you can learn things about history. Now, this was produced by a Russian company. It's actually done in Russian with subtitles. And me, I've always liked foreign cinema. I think foreign films are really fascinating and interesting. But this is interesting. The one downside to it, the one disappointment, is that it's not entirely historically accurate. But parts of it are. Parts of it are. And it seems to capture the general character of Trotsky, who is really portrayed as a very arrogant, self-serving individual who is really more interested in his own personal desire for power than anything else. And he ultimately was killed, it's believed, by Stalin. He was banished from Russia at one point because Stalin was his political rival. And once Stalin took over, Trotsky was banished. And then there were several attempts on his life. Ultimately, he was killed with an ice pick by someone, and that's how he died. And when you watch the series, his general character, I mean, at one point, he had this brave Russian naval commander put to death simply because he was jealous of him. Simply because he was jealous. And I went, and when I saw that in the series, I went and I looked it up, as I've done continually, to go double check what's real, what's not. Well, this apparently was real. And the naval commander's name was Alexei Shatsny. Alexei Shatsny. And according to the histories that I found online, Trotsky was jealous of this guy because he had won a great victory for the Russian people. The Russian people saw him as a hero, and Trotsky was simply jealous of him, tried to manipulate him. He wouldn't go along with it. And so Trotsky has him killed. And it was at that point I realized, you know, and I'm going and I'm reading up on this. Of course, you kind of know this about the communists and the socialists anyway. But they seem swept away by all these ideas of equality and fairness, supposedly, that everything, they're going to make everything better for people. And you wonder sometimes, do they really think that that's what they're doing? Do they really think they're going to make the world a better place? And they're just delusional. And because they reject God and God's authority, they end up making all of these bad decisions. Is that what's going on? Or are these people just egomaniacs who want power and control for themselves? And when this happened in the storyline, and you go study this history, you realize guys like Trotsky was simply an egomaniac. He didn't care about justice. He didn't care about anything right. He didn't care about, you know, how could a guy who would have an innocent man put to death like this, who was a Russian hero, how could he really care about the common people and wanting to help them? And of course, the Soviet Union did not help the common people. The Soviet Union stole the crops and the cattle and so on from the farmers, caused millions of people to starve to death, put people in bread lines and so on. They enriched themselves and they ruined life for millions and millions of people. That's what the socialists and the communists do over and over again. But getting back to our main topic, what happens when governments fail to punish the wicked? The story of the Russian Revolution, and this is the one part of this series on Trotsky that I think is very enlightening. According to the series, and again, this is done with a Russian company that has links to Vladimir Putin. So there is some measure of accuracy here. But what you find startling, or at least to me, is the fact that these guys like Trotsky and Lenin were running around Russia for years, writing their pamphlets, with all these proclamations of revolution, giving speeches in coffee houses and this kind of thing, essentially rousing up the people toward a socialist revolution. And then when the circumstances were right, it apparently was Trotsky who designed the actual takeover to go in and, you know, literally send in the guys with the guns and the trucks and everything and just take over the government, which happened all, I mean, that was all part of the revolution. And they seized control. And then they ousted the czar and his family. And it's believed that generally they were ultimately killed. But the czar knew what was going on with these guys for years. But he never had them rounded up and put to death. At points, apparently, they were arrested, they were jailed, etc. But these guys were preaching treason for years and were allowed to get away with it. Now, I mentioned Hitler earlier. You have a similar situation with Adolf Hitler. Hitler was likewise promoting socialist treason in Germany for years. He and his brown shirts tried to overthrow the government of Bavaria. That attempt failed. Hitler was jailed for a time, but for an act of treason, you would normally be put to death. You would be executed for that. If we measure this, I mean, and this pattern with the socialists happens over and over and over again. Somehow or other, the socialists get into the schools, they get into the media and so on, and they convince the people that treasonous activity is somehow or other lawful and should be acceptable, and it's just a matter of political opinion and this kind of thing, when in reality, that's not it at all. It's treason. They're promoting sedition and treason, but for some reason, they're allowed to get away with it. And then what happens? Then these countries are overthrown. They're overthrown. This happened in Russia. This happened in Germany. This happened in Rhodesia with Robert Mugabe. This happened in South Africa. This has happened over and over and over again. And the reason this is significant is because the countries I just named there are historically all historically Christian countries, where the concepts of toleration and freedom of speech were obviously taken to an unhealthy extreme, and an extreme that was sustained and defended for years, and that's what allowed these guys to operate. But if you measure what they're doing against the biblical standard, you go measure it against King Solomon, when Solomon is dealing with his brother Adonijah, and Adonijah had tried to usurp the throne before Solomon was crowned king. David had already made it known that Solomon was going to be the king. Adonijah wanted to be king, but David settled the argument and had Solomon crowned because that was the will of God. Then afterwards, Adonijah made one political maneuver, just one, and Solomon had him immediately put to death. He did not wait. He gave him one chance only, to get it right. He gave him one chance to submit to the king's authority, the new king now, King Solomon, submit to his authority. And what did Adonijah do? All he did was request. This is after David had passed away. All he did was request to marry one of King David's concubines. And for that, he was put to death. And the reason is because Solomon knew the significance of it. It was said at the time that only a king could marry a king's wife. And so what Adonijah was doing is he was trying to, this was like a political maneuver to position himself as the rightful king and rightful heir to the throne. And if he'd married one of David's concubines, that would have given the impression to others, oh, well, maybe Adonijah is the rightful heir after all. Because there were those people who thought so. He had a following. He had a following. He had those who supported him. But ultimately, David settled the issue, and Solomon did not give him but one chance. Then you have earlier, prior to all of this, when David was king, you had the rebellion of Sheba. Sheba was a guy who spoke against King David, spoke against his authority, said, we have no inheritance in David, and he rode off. And David doesn't wait. David sends Joab out, and Joab approaches a city where Sheba's hiding, and you have an old wise woman who looks over the wall of the city and sees Joab and his army there. And he says, have you come to destroy the city? And Joab basically says, well, I'd rather not. We're looking for this guy, Sheba. He's spoken against the king. Deliver him up and we'll leave the city in peace. And so the old wise woman says, well, we'll send his head over the wall. And so that's what they do. They go, they find Sheba, they cut his head off, and then they throw his head over the wall. And they say, here you go. Why? Because you don't mess around with traitors. You don't play games with traitors. Treason is a capital crime. People running around your country saying, you know, burning the flag and saying, end the USA. We're here to take over with communism and socialism and Sharia law and this kind of thing. You got to be kidding. That alone, this is not a protected right. This is not protected by the First Amendment. Now, of course, your activist judges and lawyers will argue that the promotion of treason is somehow or other protected right. That's basically what they've done. That's why they allow people to trample on the flag, to desecrate the American flag. We saw here recently the women's soccer team, who are, I mean, my goodness, what a dreadful collection of American women to represent the female soccer team. The videos that they made and put out, and where they're just using one, you know, foul language, one phrase after another, and just miserable women. I mean, and of course, they apparently had a Christian girl on the team. Her story's out there. And her name is Jaylene Hinkle. Jaylene Hinkle, who I sat and I watched a video of her story and her telling her story. She's a top player, a top U.S. women's soccer player. And now she's playing professionally on a different team. But the reason she left the U.S. women's soccer team, the national team, the reason she left was because they wanted her and all of the players to wear the jersey with the rainbow flag on it, celebrating gay pride. And she refused to wear it. And she said she had worked hard so many years as a Christian that she had, that what had happened, she had suffered an injury years earlier and thought she was going to have to give up playing soccer altogether. And she prayed that God would restore her and help her, because apparently she had something wrong with one of her veins. And she prayed, literally prayed for a miracle, and she went back to the doctor. And what she had said was, she had said that if God would grant her healing, that she would play soccer only for him, for the Lord. And then she was healed. She said she went back to the doctor. Her vein had opened up. She suddenly did not have the problem that she had before. And she, you know, the doctor said, you know, you've just had a miracle, basically. And so she was very, very convicted as a Christian. And she has a beautiful story. But then here, her dream comes true. She's playing on the U.S. women's national soccer team. And she's one of the players, and they're going into these big games and all this other kind of stuff. And then they want her and all the players to wear a gay pride symbol on the jersey, promoting homosexuality. And she said she spent time in prayer, and she went to the Lord about this, and she was just convicted that she's not supposed to wear that jersey. She's not going to go out there and promote something that she believes is sinful in the sight of God. And so she ended up being dropped from the team, or she left the team as a result. And thank the Lord opened another opportunity for her. But now, of course, it's been in the headlines that these other soccer players are calling her homophobic and all this other kind of stuff. It's why I have said on this, all this gay stuff, this is not about equality. There's nothing here about equality. This is about domination of our country by a very hostile anti-Christ element at work. And this is one of the reasons why I think it's very, very important that as Christians, we dig into our Bibles and we look at the examples that we have historically, where God dealing with the children of Israel and how they managed the government of ancient Israel, kings were sometimes judged if they refused to punish evil. You had King Saul, on the one hand, who refused to kill King Agag. Then you have King Ahab, who refused to kill, or to execute, we should say, Ben-Hadad, who was the enemy king. I mean, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, what God had said to the children of Israel, in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 2, he said, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." In verse 16, the Lord says, "And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee." So God is calling, in certain cases, obviously not all people. There are certain people that God told Israel, "You can't go near these people." But there were others, because of the crimes against God that they were guilty of, that they were being punished. Now consider that, and then consider what we read in Psalm 106 and verse 34, where David says, he's talking about the children of Israel and how they did not obey God. And part of their disobedience was, quote, "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them." They did not destroy them. And that was not seen as a good thing. The fact that they did not execute judgment against them, that allowed their idolatry to flourish. And then the children of Israel ended up being ensnared by their idols. And if you look at what's happening in our country today, brethren, the idolatry of Marxism, because Marx is an idol. Karl Marx is an idol, a false god. And alongside of him is the false god of Islam, Mohammedism. And there's no question that it is not legal for them to impose these foreign gods. It is, however, legal for us as Americans to demand that a biblical standard be maintained, because that is what is written into the Declaration of Independence, with the phrase, "the laws of nature and of nature's God." And what's happened is they've rewritten the history books in our country. But we know that all things work together for good to those who love Him. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that is it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.